One, two, three, four. Did you ever think it through? Did your dreams leave you blue? A spoon-fed reality. Some like it cold, but it ain't for me. There's a real monkey on your back. When the money starts to stack, you're all insane till you're in the grave and educated to be a slave. Disillusioned, stand in line. You're out of eye with the ground. Get a degree, it'll be okay. Gone in debt, the American way. There's a real monkey on your back. When the money starts to stack, you're all insane till you're in the grave and educated to be a slave. No 40 hours in minimum wage makes up for this high-end cage. There's a real monkey on your back. When the money starts to stack, you're all insane till you're in the grave and educated to be a slave.
Tradition on the show of doing a shot to start the show off with, so
yes,
everybody,
are we recording?
Cheers.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, shit.
Salud.
Salud.
Ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls, welcome to Share Your Buzz episode 93. Cogitate, cavort, coalesce with us here tonight in this undisclosed location, this black room we're stuck in here.
Don't be racist about rooms.
My name is Tony.
I'm Chris.
And we are here with Faith Kelly.
Soon to be dear.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm feeling great.
Why are we here again in this black room?
We got lured here by the sultry siren sounds of Faith Kelly. And now I feel like we're going to get murdered back here because everyone. It looks like we're in a mental institution. like a 1930s mental. Every hallway looks exactly the same. There's no numbers on the doors.
Yeah.
I just went to use the bathroom, and I was gone for like 20 minutes because I could not find my way. I had to ask some random guy walking the other way. He looked like he was lost too. I was like, I have no idea where I'm at.
So, dude, no, actually, this is definitely where we take people to brainwash them.
I feel like
every room looking the same like this.
I was joking to myself on the way to the bathroom. I was like, I bet I'm not gonna be able to find my way back. And then sure enough, I walked out and I was like, holy shit, I cannot find my way back.
Don't feel too bad, because honestly, I went to go smoke and I came back and I took a left turn too soon. Apparently, this is crazy. Whenever we have people on the podcast and I watch them play, we have another amazing guitar player leaving us, and now we're
good night, man.
See you, bud.
You know what sucks? We had a hiccup there, and I lost a little bit of that conversation. And I
did
hope,
you?
Yeah, not much, but I certainly hope that it wasn't my part, because that was funny.
But now I was gonna say, I'm not sure if I might just be picking up because it from nowhere. But when we have people come
nowhere,
on, like musicians,
man,
and sing, you know, it's crazy, man. Like when I hear people sing, I have to, like, sometimes I can't take my eye off them. When you see that voice and what it takes to, like, project a voice like that, it's crazy. It's just, I don't know. It's impressive, I gotta say. She's a singer, by the way.
Oh, she's making
she's making you blush.
She's making me blush. Yeah. For real, it's all about just letting it go. Cause
yeah.
For me, I write a lot of songs first person, mm-hmm. and it's kind of freaky. Cause if I'm in a crowd and sometimes somebody catches my eye and they really lock, sometimes it's like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But sometimes it's like, oh no, I'm like so naked right now.
Do they think I'm singing about?
Sometimes I think that same thing, but I look down and I'm actually naked. And then I realize I'm in my apartment alone, and it's so it's okay.
Oh man, it's okay. They got a pill for that.
All right, so Faith, you live in Nashville now, but mm-hmm. you're from Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, no. Somebody's going to get really upset me making that. Because, you know, Fargo, the movie came out, right?
Yeah. Movie, by the way.
Great.
And then the
really
show.
Really great movie.
I hear the show is amazing, too, but I haven't
seen it. I never watched that either because I was like, oh, I'm in Minnesota and I really can't watch this or people will be upset with me. But we like to deny, you know, that we have any accent and that kind of thing. And we totally do. But, you know, it's endearing. I think it's endearing, right? So. It's an endearing accent.
Especially being from the South, you know, because we have such an accent. And I hear
nobody hears their own accent. I mean, and Chris was the accent guy on the show when we first started. He's kind of slowed down a little bit on it now.
Yeah, it's dorky as shit, but I do really enjoy doing it.
Chris is good at mimicking accents. But the funny thing is that when you, like, I never really thought twice about it because in Florida we have kind of like not me, but we have some people down here have a little bit of an accent, and then my daughter lives in Georgia, so I kind of have, like, I know a little bit about the Southern accent. So I never really noticed Chris's too much, but after people started, like, if you listen to it though, Chris does have that
tendency. I got a little twang, but much like a lot of people, I think, that grew up in Nashville, you sort of learn to drop it, you know? I made a conscious decision to drop my Southern drawl. I remember I was probably like 10, 11 years old because people look down on Southern. I think you're stupid if you have a Southern accent or something. You know what I mean?
But there's also something.
That's what
cute.
I thought. Yeah. Sure, but you know. I remember,
but
like,
but you also
honestly
got that deep, sexy drawl,
it.
Though.
Well, there we go, baby. Have a drink of bass on body.
It's a little bit of Elvis right there. It's like,
right. Uh-huh. It's like Elvis has a sinus infection.
Elvis has a sinus infection. That's the unknown Henson. You know who that is?
Who?
The unknown Henson. He's the guy that did the voice, one of the voices on Squidbillies, but he's actually a really talented guitar player, and he writes
That's
kind
cool,
of
man.
Funny, more satirical songs.
Point out for a second that Chris has three beers lined up in front of him.
I'm just waiting.
Nice.
These
he's
for
like
everybody.
Getting ready.
He's like, I don't want to get up again for the rest of the show.
And
exactly.
Just to say, we're drinking some Mill Creek Brewing, which is a former guest of us.
Yep.
And
nice.
Good beers. I'm having Little Darling right now.
I'm a little Silo.
That is my fave.
Do you like the Little Darling?
I really, really
it's
like
good.
It.
It's really good.
I prefer the Silo. I kind of got addicted to it when he gave us a fucking case of it.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't mind if we curse, do you?
No, it's okay.
Good, because it's our fucking show.
All right.
So when'd you get to Nashville?
Oh, my gosh.
Wait. Let me start. I'm asking you when you got to Nashville, but You guys started way earlier than that. You've got a crazy, you got some crazy shit to tell. Like,
it's been a long road.
Yeah. We were talking about, you know, earlier before the podcast started, the Caribbean and all the storms and hurricanes. But is it cool if I just pop in right there just to see, like,
yeah,
this gal right here sang on a cruise ship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's personally, I think that sounds like something that would be fun to do.
It really was awesome. You know, I say this joke, you know, that like I only worked for Carnival, but at the same time, it's, you know, people, I was very aware that people save all the money they have and they might only have one vacation a year to spend. Mm-hmm. And they decided to come on a boat and hear me sing. That's ship. Cool, you
a
know?
Ship.
And so, yeah.
It's a ship.
A ship. And so,
aye,
if
Captain.
They were coming on that floating thing there, and
they were coming.
They were. And, you know, no matter how many times, you know, as somebody working on ships, you know, it can get frustrating, certain types of things. You know, no matter how frustrated I got, I always deduced it to, these people are spending their only vacation to hear me sing.
Yeah.
That was cool. And so I totally appreciated that. So I would stay after the sets. I was a mid-lounge act. So we played in the mid-lounge. And after the set was done, the band would be running off to do another set. And I would stay behind, shake hands, and talk with the guests because yeah. it was cool to get to know them.
Sure.
I mean, how was it? So how did you even get into that? I mean, I know you...
Yeah, I auditioned at the school that I went to music school for. Okay, so I went to McNally Smith College of Music. Now they've, you know, kind of blown up and there's a whole different kind of atmosphere. So they have, you know, they have like a master's program now. They are, I just heard that they were... partnered with Berkeley now and things yeah. like that. And there's a lot of different things that now the school is doing that is great. It was kind of a small kind of institution when I went, but it was a cool atmosphere even then.
Yeah.
The school that I went to music school, the school that I went to music school, that's like, I don't know how to speak.
That I
anyway.
Went to music school. In school.
Right, exactly. So I went to music school at McNally Smith.
Kids.
At the time that I started, it was called Music Tech. And the school started as a guitar college in Minneapolis.
A
and
guitar-age.
Then moved to St. Paul. And then all of a sudden I had all the other instruments and things like that. Well, when I graduated, then, you know, these companies started doing auditions there.
Yeah.
So I went there and did a live audition, and then I also sent in a DVD.
Well, it's cool that your college, you know, I guess these carnival places know that, you know, this college is producing some good singers, so, you know, popping up there. But, I mean, so you're from Hibbing, Minnesota, right?
Hibbing.
So what was it like for a Hibbing gal to go to St. Paul, Minnesota?
Goodness. Okay, so for even...
I mean, that's a big step,
right? It's a big step, yeah. But I did the necessary pawn jumps because I moved to Nashville from New York City.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I did the necessary pawn jumps. I went to like a bigger city, then a bigger city.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
I kind of, you know, like I stepped my toe in before going all the way.
Test the waters a little bit.
Yeah, you know, in good small town fashion because I'm still small town.
I think it would be a bigger step to say somebody from Minnesota, like a girl from Minnesota to go on a cruise around the Caribbean. Like that's,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
you came from a landlocked place or in the middle or not maybe that may not landlocked but in the middle of a continent
yeah
to now floating around the Caribbean
yeah
and I hear people on cruise ships are and I'm sorry to keep on going back to this but
it's, okay.
it's just very fascinating to
yeah,
me
yeah it's cool because
I have
to me too actually too,
growing absolutely. Up in Orlando I have lots of friends that worked on cruise ships and what I hear is that and I've been on a couple of cruises
y'all don't pay state taxes either it's awesome
yeah no but the diversity of people on the cruise ships, because everybody's working from a different place and country, so you get to meet lots of different people and do different kinds of things.
Yeah.
Was that your first big gig? Like,
for me, I felt like that was a great opportunity. It was a great training ground to keep a certain amount of material up. I remember at that time, the book for covers at that time was like 300. Now I'm sure it's more. But so it's 300 songs, so you had to keep up a lot
of material.
I guess what I'm getting at is,
so you were gigging before that, obviously. Yeah. So, but from, and that was, you were gigging in your, like in your hometown?
I definitely was gigging along with my dad. My dad's been a singer for the last 40 years. He doesn't actually do anything else for his living. So that's a really extraordinary.
I say good on dad. That's not like, I mean,
yeah, it's yeah. an extraordinary yeah. thing to be able to complete. Like it's an extraordinary thing yeah. to keep up. And I was always gigging. So I was like always with my okay. dad gigging. Yeah. I was either like gigging in like contest circuits. So I did contest circuits before I started to go to college. So yeah. it was like when I was young. And it's funny because I was a country singer. So I was like the, you know, 9, 10, 12 year old with like fringe and like boots, yeah, you know, yeah. in the north, which was hilarious.
Yeah. That is pretty fucking hilarious.
That's really funny.
And there's actually a huge country scene in Canada.
It's a huge following in the north. Yeah. Huge following in the north, yeah. guys.
Hey, there's rednecks up north too now. Come on, let's be honest.
Oh yeah, that is universal.
Only because their scarves are too tight.
That's it. It's universal.
No, I guess what I was getting at was coming out of your hometown circuit and then going to like so far away is like to have a different crowd coming through like every day, every 3 days, right? On a cruise ship, you're like that turnover for your audience is. And then you're in a totally different opposite arena than you're used to being in.
I think it became real for me when I realized, you know, this was before smartphones, right? You know, so like
and smartphones.
I love it. Anyway, smartphones were just beginning, right? So you might have a smartphone or a BlackBerry at this time. Okay, sure. So. If you're a business type, you were still having a BlackBerry. And when you were on vacation, you would bring an actual camcorder, right? And it was like a big deal yeah. to have a camcorder that had like a display screen, right? Huh. You didn't have to put your eyeball
yeah.
in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was very cool. I think it became real for me when I realized that I was being filmed every week. Like every week somebody was filming their vacation, you know, so they yeah. were filming the band and at any time. So I had done bar gigs and all that kind of stuff all the time before. But when you're constantly being videoed, you're like, okay, I really have to be on my A game always
yeah.
because somebody's got a shot of this. So there's that. And then the other thing is that I was away from home. Literally. So when sometimes you're out at sea and you really can't make a call, like you have to buy a card and like you pay to like use the satellite phone and like call home and you might get like 30 minutes or you might get a line out and like something might be happening with your family, you know? So it was, yeah. it was the first time I was like without access, you know, sure. truly. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, a cell phone can suffice anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
You're putting me in heaven right now. I love being without access. I just want to... the happiest 2 days of my life was when I was recently stranded in Jamaica, and I was like, I can't... Wait a minute. Like, this is beyond my control, and I can't do anything about it? Holy... This is... I got absolute freedom. Absolute freedom to do whatever I fucking want for 2 days. I can see being out there in the middle of the ocean, and you're like, this is it. This is your world and for the next... You know, a couple of weeks, you're just, that's it. It's intriguing. I want it. I want to do that. I want to leave right now.
Why don't you, we'll just do a podcast, a live podcast on Carnival Cruises, and we'll do one a night.
Mm-hmm. Not Carnival.
Carnival, well, whoever, Disney.
I can't, it's hard to do a podcast, seriously, when somebody with a name tag that says Captain Fun is like running
right
by
at the same time as the Harry Chess concert Chess contest.
I think that would be.
We can go to Senior Frogs and do the sexual position contest.
Oh.
Well, not us. I didn't mean us together.
No, together. That's what's going
to
happen.
At least go to Three Amigos. Ow.
So back to Faith Kelly.
That's
so,
me.
So you started out doing country. Was your dad a big country guy? Is that kind of how
yeah, he's
into
still
it?
A yeah. country singer. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, my family is really rooted in country music. They love country music. We love the story of it, the way that like you can just tell things from the first person, and we love all the old greats. You know, Kitty Wells, Buck Owens, the Carter family. I mean,
you're talking to me now.
Far back as you can remember, we love it.
Nice. So yeah. You say you start out in country. You say that as if you're not country now. So what would you explain? What was the migration to what you're doing now?
Sure, the cruise ship helped in your migration, right? I mean, surely.
Definitely.
Learning 300 songs had to influence.
Yeah.
Okay. I can sing this kind of song now, or I can sing this, you know?
Yeah.
Like Tina Turner, fuck it.
Yeah,
I got
was there
it,
like,
you
know, a finding era?
There was definitely a long journey of like finding my sound. And I kind of do put myself somewhere in between like blues rock, southern rock, that kind of realm. I like to use a lot of bended notes. I like to slur as much as possible.
Oh, so do we, but that's not because of the whiskey.
Right. And, you know, speaking the blues scale is definitely something I subscribe to. We're going to have some whiskey right now.
Salut. Speaking of slurring.
Drinking some Bullet right now.
Yeah.
These guys are trying to get me drunk and say something really crazy on this mic.
I'm just hoping to. I'm trying to not get too drunk that I get lost in here and get murdered because I've already.
You don't know where you're going.
This place is like a maze. It's like the labyrinth in here, literally. Mm-hmm. David Bowie's chasing me, and there's an old man with a beard and chains.
And he's got that hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Faith, you said. I mean, I know, like, for you guys there, you're listening to the podcast, you realize that she's very blues influenced. I think.
Yeah, I think everything comes from the blues. I think.
So how did you find the blues, or did the blues find you, or I mean, it's like,
oh, look at you being all poetic
damn.
And shit.
No, it's
okay.
True though. Sometimes and, music finds you, and sometimes
for the listeners as well.
Looking,
I'm not sure what order this is going to be in, but you will hear some music, either coming up or you just heard it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. We'll figure it out.
So definitely, I feel the blues found me. Mm-hmm. You know, everything that I've experienced has not always
been
easy.
Did you guys just hear that ghost?
There was a thing, right?
There
was a thing.
There was a
pop
in there. I think
we all
experienced
it.
Okay. Okay. It was David Bowie.
It was his friend.
It was David's Bowie. That's what it was. Okay.
Whatever that means.
That's awesome.
I'm sorry. I can't. I didn't mean to interrupt her, but there was an audible pop in the
there
room.
Was
you guys heard it.
It's the white
yes,
ghost.
There really was.
The white noise ghost.
An audible pop.
And
was an audible pop.
And you are blue in the light. It's
very blue.
Even your
tattoos. We got to take a picture of Chris because Chris is sitting opposite the lighting right now. Mm-hmm. So me and Kelly are both normal, or me and Faith, rather, are both normal. you have two first names. It wears me out.
I know. It weirds everybody out. I considered, you know, a name change, but then I don't know what
Faith
I would
Kelly
be
is such
otherwise.
A nice, it's a great name. Don't even worry about it. Good it's name. Yes, I'm very blue right
but
now.
But Chris is blue.
I'm Smurfy or Blue Man Groupie, whichever. Yeah. I was going to do a Smurf voice, but I can't remember what they sound like.
Well, you were a percussionist and you're blue. Either. You should, like, you're Blue Man right there.
Yeah. Dude, I would totally do Blue Man Group.
Blue Man Group is
a
great.
You have to shave your beard, though.
I
saw
would do
Blue
it.
Man Group in the Mark of the Quad City, which is hilarious that I remember this, but it's in Moline, Illinois. And I saw Tracy Bonham open up for them. Tracy Bonham was that girl that had, like,
yeah,
that song Mother Mother.
Oh,
mother,
yeah.
Mother.
Yeah. That's a good song.
How's
yeah.
my father?
Yeah, that's a good song.
It was like so rock and roll. And she played the violin so hard, she like snapped strings. And I was like, ooh, yes, I want to rock.
Wait, is that violin. The song where the chorus is like, I'll be fine? She like,
yes,
oh, yes,
that's the one. And it's such purposefully out of tune.
I heard
perfect.
I heard a band cover that. Actually,
I'm gonna start using that.
Ago,
that's a great tune.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I sing, I'm gonna start saying that. I'm purposely out of tune.
Oh yeah,
that's great. You know, you'll be an atonal artist.
Well, I feel like my life is just slightly out of tune all the time. It's just
sorry. Slightly.
Enough about me.
Keeps you alive,
Kelly. Faith. Jeez, I can call her Kelly now. You know what? You're Kelly.
You can't officially. Help it, man. I get it. So, yeah, the blues found me. That definitely did happen.
Do you remember the moment, like the time? Was there like a specific?
It was definitely in my 30s. You know, I cried my entire 30th year. I was
did
like,
you?
Oh, geez, I'm here. And then when I turned
really?
31, I was like, okay, cool. I'm good.
30s,
the
honestly,
sky didn't fall
been
down.
The best for me. 30s, I love the 30s.
The 30s are
20s were fun.
The 30s are dope, man, because you find out, because in your 20s, you find out who you are. And then you, in your 30s, you find out that who you thought you were is bullshit, and you actually find out who you actually were.
did you really find out who you are?
Hell yeah.
In your 40s, you do it again.
Right.
Who knows?
I think that's quite accurate.
Maybe every 10 years.
Accurate?
Yeah, accurate.
Accurate.
Yo, no, we accurate up in here.
Accurate.
Accurate.
Accurate up in here, yo.
So I have a tough time enunciating after too much whiskey.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing it's that okay. This is why we sing first, and then we talk.
Yeah, that was a good idea.
These are the best shows. Just so you guys know, we've only done 20 minutes. We have like
50 minutes. No, I'm just kidding.
That's because I am so entertaining.
It is. Actually, this is a good show. I'm glad you lured us here to your dungeon.
Yeah. And well, there's this huge mirror. I feel like there's the CIA is behind this
it's
mirror.
It's because sometimes you might have choreography. I can't even say that.
That's why I'm facing away from the mirror. I can't look into the mirror
can
while we're doing a podcast.
Somebody say that word for
choreography?
Yeah, okay.
Kemosabe.
my mom Sorry. Used to say that.
Really?
Yeah, kemosabe. It's like a big deal. It's something to describe something
can you do
big.
Can you do it in her accent?
Kemosabe.
I love it. Sorry.
Well, I mean, and you guys
oh
are.
Oh, no. You guys are going to get me fired for my mother.
You're fired up.
You're fired as a dog.
Mom, we're sorry. We love your
We've
little Minnesota.
Totally lost track of what we were talking about faith.
Well, blues. We were talking about the blues.
The blues found you.
You were 30.
Oh, that's right, because you're blue.
And
okay.
Get out of here.
So I've literally never said this before, but on any other.
Exclusive.
I know, right? Anyway. That was like Morse code. I love
it. The breaking news.
Perfect. Same thing. Anyway.
It is, you're right.
I really think that the blues found me when I knew I wanted to do this path, right? I knew I wanted to do music. And it was one of those things that there were a lot of setbacks. So one of the setbacks I had was I had a vocal injury when I was in college. And I actually had surgery on one of my vocal cords.
Like a polyp or something? How does that happen? Yeah. How does a vocal injury happen?
A vocal injury happens when sang too dope. Mm-hmm. Sometimes as a child performer, you can push too hard to sound like an adult. And I think that's kind of what happened to me. But I was always ear trained mm-hmm. before I went to college. So I took 6 months of intensive theory lessons, and then I went to my college audition. So it was really difficult.
So this is post-surgery. You do the trial or whatever.
Yeah.
So you spent time not singing, I assume, and just studying. Is that what you did? Or did you have to do that whole where like a name tag says, I'm can't talk right now sort of
yeah.
a thing? Like
I did it for an entire
Don't
year.
Don't be mad at me. I can't talk.
But I was in my second semester of vocal performance degree training.
Man. We're going to do a whole podcast where we just don't talk.
It's going to go over well.
It's going to be Morse code. It's going to be you doing your Morse code thing the whole time. And we're just going to. It'll be
nice.
Chalk marks. No, but I can see where, like you said, a child trying to have an adult voice.
Yeah.
Or even an adult trying to have a better voice when you try to strain yourself too much, or when you try to make yourself sound better than maybe you're accustomed to doing. Because people just it's not all natural talent. Nothing is natural. It's all natural. Like natural talent's a great part of it, but you have to have the exercise to be able to do it. And like I notice when I'm trying to when I hear people trying to do like a vibrato in their voice, like that's something that I try to work on. But if you force it, it hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you try to force the vibrato a little bit, like you want to sound like someone who's way better than you actually are, and you strain yourself too much before your chords are used to.
What's weird about
vibrato? Think about all the songs, right? So if you're 9, all the country songs,
which I
am,
are sang by
are about like heartbreaks. And paying bills.
I'm 37. This my songs are still about that.
And when you're 9, do you really know about that?
Yeah.
And so I think you sing differently when you've had some life experience.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And it definitely did me some good to have life experience. And as I was gaining that life experience, aka setbacks in music or setbacks in my personal life, it all added to this soup that was the blues, that was what it really feels like to have the blues.
Blues
and
soup.
What it feels like to write something from that space that's very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Vulnerable. I can't even say that.
You got it. I think you got it. You're good. Get rid of the shot.
If you keep correcting yourself, it's going to stick out more. Just keep this.
I like that. she just gave me that. No, we're not doing that. We got the show started off to a nice little pop. I think we've had three whiskeys.
Well, I don't remember.
It's because usually we do the music in the middle of the show, but this particular show we did music first because we had everybody
I'm
here.
Really
we had
glad.
Hired musicians.
Let's be honest. We are full transparency on this show. I'm gonna be honest. I had a hard time getting into the flow tonight, and I was like not feeling it. And I was not here, but I had a shitty week, and I was like I told Chris,
I came over to his house, he was like, man,
he was like, man,
I need to get pumped up. Man.
I need to get pumped up, man. I'm just
pumped up.
So I may have done a couple of extra shots to get myself going.
Oh jeez.
He pre-gamed.
Now he tells me everybody.
He pre-gamed. Because I was like, who's driving? He's like, dude, I've been drinking. I'm not driving.
That's a smart decision.
I'll say, well, I've got a bottle of whiskey and a bunch of beers. Maybe we should lift. So we're on the north
lift
side.
Lift is a good idea.
We're close to the Titans practice facility, which is exciting for me. Titans fan.
Speaking of practice, let's get back to our guest.
Right? We need to practice on how to be a better host. Enough about us.
Indeed. So
go ahead.
Oh, you owe me a Coke.
Here's a beer.
I'll take a solid instead. Thank you very much. So, Faith.
Again, this is Mill Creek Brewing Company. Brought to you by Lil Darlin.
Lil Darlin. Yeah.
Tastes great.
So, our Lil Darlin for tonight. Now where are we at in the timeline here? Have you made it to Nashville yet? After the cruise ship, you come to Nashville?
No, this is your second time in Nashville, right? If I'm getting this correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been all over the place, guys. So after the cruise ships, I decided to move to South America for a few months. And
did you decide to move there for a few months, or you decided to move there and it ended up being a few months? Curious.
I decided to move there forever and ended up coming back after a few months.
Oh,
it's kind of funny.
Wait, hold on. Was there a boy involved?
Yes.
There was.
I think I remember.
There was
you
a boy.
You and I might have had this conversation.
There was a boy for sure that I...
Was he a cute South American boy? Never mind.
He was cute, yeah.
Was he also a musician?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a soft spot for the musicians, I think.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny.
Chris just started a conversation,
no,
forgot he didn't have the mic in his hand.
I will punch you
he's
in
like,
the forehead.
He's like, oh, I just can't handle it.
It's funny because I've only dated one musician in my entire life, and I am a musician, so... I've fallen in love with any woman that has, you know, any bit of talent that's a singer or a great songwriter, whatever. But I've never had the fortune to date one, really. So, I mean, I'm trying to imagine, like, what's it like as two artists in a relationship? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's got to be intense. It has to be.
It's intense, but it can also be really nice. I think it's always good to have somebody who understands like what your goals are and understands kind of where you're coming from.
Well, I've personally had both where I've been in a relationship with an artist where we both got along great, and I've been in a relationship with another artist who is like more competition based, and that did not work out very well at all, because you got to have somebody who's you got to be cool with each other.
You got to support each other's art. Yeah.
I don't think you can be in competition with somebody that you love. I don't think that works.
Shouldn't be.
I think you need to be an ally. Yeah. You can't really be trying to one up somebody that you love. Like you're supposed to try to lift them up, you know. It's a selfless kind of thing.
Because then it's not about y'all. It's not about the two of you. It's about you.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And if it's going to be about you, you might as well
be alone.
Alone. Right. Yeah. And be cool with that.
So how did you find the South American experience?
South America was amazing.
What country?
Lived in Uruguay, which most people pronounce
Uruguay.
Uruguay.
I don't have
or something like that. Anyway, I lived in Montevideo.
We only say that because we have all of our gay listeners. We're actually the number one gay podcast in Nashville.
We are.
Wow. That's awesome. I used to perform in gay bars when I was like 15, so that's cool. I get it.
That go well?
They love disco.
Wait, hold on. You sang disco?
Hey, what? Disco is a thing, man. It's a great thing. It makes everybody feel good.
It does.
Disco is great when you hear that.
I'm not a huge disco fan. I have like I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it, but I'm not, you know. It's good for weddings. You know what I'm saying? To me, disco music is the ultimate wedding.
I think you are outnumbered, my friend.
Oh, I am, but, you know, if it's an open bar at a wedding, yeah.
Dude, disco is great.
Other than that, you can kiss my ass.
Stepping out ladies' night.
It's fine. I'll take the real thing. I'll take Tina.
Dude, some Shaft? Come on.
ABBA, my ass. Shaft disco? I mean, kind of. Disco, I mean, I don't know.
Disco is
come on, he's
man.
A bad
you're a blues girl. You're talking about disco over here.
Disco is fun.
Dude, it all kind of goes together, though. Come on.
All music goes together. Yeah, it's all connected. We know. It's fine.
He's like, screw you guys. Where's the whiskey?
Right. He's like, these guys don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, man, it's cool.
Is your dad disappointed in the fact that you're a blues gal now and not so country? Or?
I think the whole family is kind of like, what are you doing?
Oh.
Yeah, because they love country music. And
are we talking to the whitest black sheep?
Huh, maybe. I do have the blondest hair. Definitely, I feel that.
Look like a Norse goddess.
It's like I'm like the, what do they call it? Like the frozen princess or
could
whatever.
Have been on the Vikings
you did look show. Like you just sailed over here on a ship. Like on like the masthead of a ship.
Yeah, like I carried my ship over a continent to be here, just to be
boat,
honest.
It's a boat, it's not a ship. It's a boat.
Oh, yeah, it was a boat.
A boat.
No, I think it was a ship. I think it was big enough to be a ship.
I think if you sail across the ocean, you got to.
It's a ship.
Well, no, the Vikings, they came across.
But I didn't eat any lutefisk. Because that stuff is really horrible.
Okay, now you lost
well,
me.
Well, just the name alone makes me want to not eat it.
Lutefisk is like some sort of fish inside a gelatin that they used to preserve long enough to like still eat.
So anything they use the gelatin to preserve the fish?
Yeah, like through the voyage.
Anything inside a gelatin, no bueno.
Fucking keep that fruitcake, Grandma.
Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's
but lefse, have you ever had lefse?
I don't care.
That's
if
a
it's
Norwegian food that is really good.
And
it's
nothing
like
that comes in a gelatin is good. I don't
unless
care.
Unless it's got vodka in it and it's in a shot cup.
Still.
Nice. I hear
I mean, that's, I guess Jell-O. I guess, but still, even Jell-O's it's not as bad as just have a fucking shot then. Like, I don't know. It's nothing
sure,
that comes in gelatin.
You're at a party and someone's got a tray of Jell-O shots. Come on. You're going to pick it up.
I mean, as
it.
Long as it has grape blue dini in it, I'm
as long
good.
As it has grape blue dini.
Yeah, grape blue dini. Do you remember, like, girls in my high school group would, like, put that in their hair? It was, like, some sort of hair dye.
Oh, the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
The grape blue dini.
Yeah, it was, like, blue.
Oh, I thought you were just making up something.
No, I didn't make it up.
Now we're on NPR. Welcome
to
the Great
Talk.
Blue Dini Cast.
What are we talking about, cats?
We're having a pleasant evening.
Are we?
In the black room.
I've already got lost three times. And so, are we?
And that was just going to the restroom.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Okay, guys, we're at our halfway point. We're going to take a break.
We'll talk more.
We need to regroup. This is.
We'll talk more faith, and we'll talk more.
We'll talk more Grape Bludini. Chris, you are in the blue light. You are the Grape Bludini right now.
I feel like the girl that ate the blueberry gum or whatever.
I feel like somebody's taking a picture of
Willy Wonka.
The Grape.
Like
the Chris Bludini.
Was her name Veronica?
Somebody's got to take a picture of the Chris Bludini.
The Chris Bludini. I love it.
Oh, I got it.
We'll roll you down the hall like a
blueberry. Like Veronica Salt. Veruca Salt. Veruca Salt. That's what
was it Veruca?
It was Veruca.
I thought it was Veronica.
Veronica Salt is actually just
Veruca.
Veronica Salt is
right.
Just a...
That's right.
It's a pretzel.
I love that movie, by the way.
So, okay, guys, we all need a smoke break. And to regroup because this is getting out of hand. So it's a
delightfully.
Delightfully out of hand.
It's off the rails, but
you know, I like that. I like delightfully out of hand is how we live our lives.
As we become hand in hand.
Indeed. All right, guys. We'll see you guys in it'll seem like a second for you, but it'll be like who knows for us.
Who knows? It's all in vain. Got heartache and pain. It's all in vain. Lord, I'm feeling the strain. And as far as I can tell, you don't feel the same. You're all hypocritical, cynical, sweet son of a bitch. You only want to scratch me when you've got an itch. You let this shit roll right off your back. It's getting old, as a matter of fact. The effort's in vain. I got heartache and pain. Yeah, it's all in vain. Oh, I'm feeling the strain. And as far as I can tell, you don't feel the same. The cyclical, stereotypical games you force me to play. Well, you make up all new rules to an old cliche. You let me stew all night long, then have the nerve to ask me what went wrong. The effort's in vain. I got heartache and pain. Yeah, it's all in vain. Oh, I'm feeling the strain. And as far as I can tell, you don't feel the same. No, 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 no. It's like when you say you'll call me, and I don't never hear from you. It's like when you say I was your everything. Yeah, you said I was your everything for one whole week. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
yeah, it's all in vain. Lord, I'm feeling the strain. Yeah, it's all in vain. Oh, I'm feeling the strain. And as far as I can tell, you don't feel the same.
I like how she was just like, here's these shot glasses that are empty. just saying.
Time to fill them up. Next thing you know, it's...
So we found our way back through the maze, the labyrinth.
We're totally done with that mic if you want to turn everything off.
What's your name? Rick, come here.
Rick is the shit.
Rick is running this joint, the labyrinth of studios or
Rick,
spaces.
We're doing
Rick,
come on, say hi on the podcast.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Good to see you. I don't see or hear you.
Or what? What's your last name?
Wilkerson, Rick Wilkerson.
Can we find you on Facebook?
Yes, you can.
Nice, there you go. He's on Facebook, and he runs the sound. He's the man.
He rocks it.
Yes.
So, we are back, and my phone just died.
Oh.
Wait, your phone died? You owe me. You're supposed to buy the lift on the way
someone's
home.
She's got an Android, right? You can plug us. Can you plug me in?
I don't have that.
I guess I'm buying
an
the
Android.
Lift off. Tony owes me beers now. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Damn it. He's my phone's been doing this. Dude, I told you, my phone has been, like, it gets to the point now where it gets to, like, 40%, and then it just dies.
Done.
I'm done. My phone actually calls me and says, I'm shutting off now, which is weird because...
What?
Yeah.
I love how he said it.
Doesn't
calls
that just
me.
Waste
like
more
how
battery?
Does it call you?
Your phone's running low on battery. It's like, you know what? I'm going to use more battery power to call this motherfucker and let him know that his phone is dying. Mm-hmm. That's just Oh, Mapper. Sorry, I'm cussing.
Mapper.
Mapper. Sorry, guys.
So we're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We're going to clip that
second
whole
segment.
First.
No, we're not. It's fine. You know what's funny is that that whole part of the first segment that we actually lost, that was really funny, but it won't. But we have all of this segment that is not funny. No, we are back in. You know, we haven't actually said where we were. Are we allowed to say the name of the place we're at? Can we put that on the mic?
Sure. So Liquid Sound. Where are we at again? It's Diamond Sound Studio.
Diamond Sound.
Liquid Sound. I don't know.
Liquid Sound is the name of our broadcast. that's gonna be our. That's gonna be our new. Yeah, Liquid Sound's our new funk band.
Liquid Sound, baby.
No, Diamond Studios. And if you walk through here, the place is a fucking mega cavernous, you walk through here, it's like, I swear
cavernous.
You're in. It is. It's voluminous.
Voluminous, it cavernous.
It is. I have all, it's prodigious. I have more words. But no, it's huge, and there's.
Huge.
Chris makes fun of me. I don't pronounce my H's. It's huge. It's huge.
Huge. Oh, I had to do it. I'm sorry.
What's that Family Guy was like? Hugh. It's like, you know, he pronounces the H. And
whom?
Whip. With who?
Whip.
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 What?
What? What?
Okay, so we're back. Once again, we're
why?
Back to
when
Sherry.
Did I lose? When did we lose control, Chris?
Once again, you're back. We're here with Faith Kelly. We're here with Faith Kelly. So
yeah.
Where do we leave off? Do you remember?
Oh, man, I think we were talking about ships somehow.
Well,
ships.
Are we still on the
ships, not ships.
No, we were actually we were in Nashville now. So now you're in Nashville.
Yeah.
So now you're here, modern day, doing your thing.
Yeah.
I think we were making the transformation from you doing country music to actually how you found your modern sound.
Yeah. I think, like Chris said, the blues found me, and I fit well in there in the blues, and Nashville is the perfect breeding ground for, like, music that is real and kind of cuts to the bone, and like I said, I write first person a lot, and it's a way to just, you know, get to the skinny.
So how do you feel about how everything, and you kind of fall into this category? We've had lots of artists on that are not maybe your traditional Nashville acts. We've had jazz artists on, and you know, some rock, and we're talking to some hip hop guys now. Mm-hmm. So like, there's lots of different music going on here in Nashville now that there Nashville is. Might not have traditionally be known for. So, what? And you kind of fit into that group as well.
Yeah.
So, and you have a super dope, soulful voice. So, do you feel? I guess the question I want to ask all the artists here now is, what their general take is on what Nashville is becoming, because we are now not just now we were always Music City by name, but now we are becoming actually Music City. Like, we're not just Country Music City. Now we're actually Music City. Like, everything is going on here now. So is there a scene? Do you find that as not being a country artist, do you still find that there's plenty of, like, do you still find
is there a spot for you here? In this
yeah, is there a spot for you here? Like, is there, do you find inspiration here the same way that people have for, like, decades?
I definitely find a lot of inspiration in Nashville. I think Nashville is creating new venues all of the time, including, you know, like, underground clubs all the time where, you know, indie artists can perform, and it
shout
doesn't...
Shout out to Rudy's.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rudy's spot is a brand new spot. Rudy's is... If y'all don't know what Rudy's is one of the first kind of, you know, only jazz spots
true
in
jazz.
Nashville.
It's a true jazz.
They've been on
yeah.
the show. Look up our Rudy's Jazz Room episode 2 or 3 episodes ago. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really exciting to see other music come to Nashville, knowing that this is Music City. And it's funny because it's always been Music City. There's always been other music here. And I think it's just the country music was the ones getting the spotlight. And so that's what Nashville's kind of known for. But there has been other music here for a long time. And I think sometimes it's even more exciting because they had to work harder to gain a spot to be able to shine, you know? And so they had to work harder. And when you do find that soulful blues person or that, you know, really R&B voice or something like that, they've had to work through a lot of different avenues, and it has its own spin, its own brand of sound. And so I feel Nashville definitely is now becoming known to the rest of the world as Music City instead of Country Music City. Mm-hmm. And
for
it's
sure.
kind of exciting because we've always had other music here. And now it's getting a chance to shine.
Well, yeah. when you walk around our streets, I mean, all jokes aside, I mean, we're drinking and we're having a fun time on the podcast. But to represent our city a little bit, when you walk around the streets here, you see a different vibe than I felt like even 6 years ago when I moved here. No, don't get me wrong. I love that straight up Nashville vibe that was always here. And that's always going to be the heart of it, that three chords and a truth kind of songwriting,
sure, yeah.
Country style. But it is refreshing to see, to walk around and see other people, other styles, to see our city thriving in other ways that it didn't before. And that all makes new influences. Because one of my biggest turnoffs, one of the reasons why I stopped writing country music was because it all started to sound the same. Because everybody that was writing in Nashville, from Nashville, lived here, only wrote about one thing because all we see is one thing. But it was playing writer's rounds. It was going out and drinking, you know, 4 nights a week. It was and it was the party, and that's all you had to write about. And we kind of lost a little bit of the essence of life because Nashville is not real life. Like, we don't live in real life. We live in like a make believe world that we've created for ourselves here in Party Town. And
it's definitely Party Town.
Now that we have some other people coming in that are not in our industry, we get to see. We get to experience real life again and write about real things that are not just, you know, party anthems. We get to write about real things again. And we see that coming back in our music, even in country music, and we see that coming back. And I'm really excited and proud, which is why we have people like Faith and Stephanie and everybody else on that is writing about real cool stuff, like Marcella. Like, mm-hmm. we have these really great artists on that you wouldn't maybe know about if you just came to town and only searched, like, Nashville. But if you actually spend a little time in the city and you go exploring our local talent, it'll blow you away. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
I love living here where I can go out any night of the week and see some amazing talent.
Literally 7 days a week.
Yeah.
365.
I can choose to do this at 11 o'clock at night. You know, I don't have to choose, you know, one show, buy tickets by 7 o'clock, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And I'll still come across something that just makes it really worth it.
It's amazing. Like, I'm born and raised here in Nashville, and I don't go downtown as much as I used to, but it still amazes me sometimes when I go down there to say, like, Tootsie's, and you see these old school pickers. They're throwing down, and you're still in awe a little bit.
Play,
you know,
like they're 25.
Even though I'm born and raised here, I still get the chills sometimes when I go out and see these cats play. And it's, you know, Wednesday night, and you can see some of the top players, you know.
We live in an incredible time and an incredible town. And I hope that we all, not to get too deep, but I hope we all, like, we should, everybody, every generation has their time and their place. But, like, everybody's like, oh, a lot of times when you're in your generation, you either love your generation or you wish you were in another generation. But I'm kind of in the middle where, like, I admire all the other generations as well. But we also live in a super cool time right now, in a super cool town where so much things are going on, so many things are going on, where, like we were just talking about, like, anything you want to see, you go out and see it any night of the week. And when I go to visit other places now, I'm so jaded by Nashville where we have something going on all the time. When I go on vacation somewhere and it's like a Tuesday night, I'm like, what do you mean there's nothing going on tonight? Like, right. It's
surprising.
Like, yeah, I'm like, but it's 11 or 10 o'clock on a Tuesday. Like, isn't there a band playing somewhere?
Right.
They're
in
like,
Nashville,
no, nothing's going on here until like Friday. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So Faith, you say, like, I guess Nashville is an influence on you as far as your lyrics, but, you know, we were listening to the song Monkey on My Back. Is that right?
Monkey
nope.
on Your Back.
Monkey on
it's
your
called
back.
The Real Monkey.
The Real Monkey.
It's a cool song because
I'm right here.
But they're right. But the lyrics really struck me because they're deep, and it's like, it's political in a way almost. So what's your writing process? Where do you find your inspiration vocally? I mean, lyrically, I'm sorry. You know.
Well, for The Real Monkey in particular, the original lyric and name for that song was The Game. So, you know, here's the real game. And it had a lot to do with student loans and how much it costs to gain a career and education in this country. Mm-hmm. And it's really tough because I was able to live in another country and was able to see that public education and public university existed.
Yeah.
And so it's totally different when you have to pay so much to be able to become what you know you should become. And it's difficult for everybody to pay their loans yeah. back. And The Real Monkey is a song I wrote about, essentially I wrote about student loans and how difficult it is to pay it back. And that it's difficult because many of us end up doing things that have nothing to do with the career we went to school for
sure.
just to pay the loan back.
Sure. Yeah.
And so it's frustrating. And I think that I definitely made a deal with myself somewhere down the line that I was always going to work in music and I can never quit music as long as I'm still paying on my music degree.
Sure. yeah, yeah.
So as long as I'm still paying that loan every month, I'm still going to become a rock star.
So do you feel like a slave in some way to your debt?
Yeah. Like, yeah, definitely.
Like this noose that's just waiting to be tightened, you know, if you don't pay it, sort of.
Yeah, I think it definitely with like a certain interest kind of situation, sometimes you can end up paying that loan 2 and 3 times over by the time it's finished. And it's difficult for people who maybe don't come from privilege. And they have a cleared path and they have the drive and the want to and the, you know, the work ethic. And sometimes it's still not enough because you do have to, your education is monetized in this country. And so I feel like that's really tough for Americans right now. And so the song has a lot to do with my personal experience repaying my loan and also the plight of other Americans who are borrowing money in
sure.
order to be able to complete their dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That's I was personally, I was fortunate. I paid for my school as I went. I went to school part time though, but I can only imagine to me, it's a bit of a shame that, you know, you have to go so far in debt just to make money. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? It's just, you're automatically starting out at a disadvantage.
Yeah, or you might have to work full time in order to pay for your living while mm-hmm. you go to school,
oh
and
yeah.
that's really tough because, you know, you need time to study and the brain power and, you know, you need to not be exhausted.
Time but to study. I wonder. We're actually going to start a new podcast called Time to Study, and we just, me and Chris just sit here silently and read.
Nice. I like it.
It sounds like great material to be able to
So many ants on me.
Yeah, I don't mean to get too serious, but
I had a point and you killed it with
sorry.
Your aunt.
No. It was getting a little it was getting a little too serious, so I had to interject.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. Like
yeah,
we were
I hate to get so
earlier,
serious.
So, but no, it's the truth though. I mean but it's I appreciated the lyrics.
It's a real real situation though. A real lyric.
Yeah.
If I may.
Yeah. It's personal to you and it's I'm sure it you know, it's there's a lot of people that feel the same way, so
yeah, I hope so.
So you're gonna bring it back? On
I was going
note?
To. I literally just had two.
Bring
ants.
It all back.
I had two
Tony.
Ants climbing on my arm, and it freaked me out. So.
Man,
poor boy,
two.
Poor guy
two
ants. Has ants crawling.
Dose ants.
It's okay.
Dose
they weren't fire ants.
Dose Antilles.
Is that what proper Spanish? I mean, I don't know. Antilles? Is that what it's
I don't know.
Ant in Spanish?
So, but yeah.
Fuego Antilles.
Fuego ants.
What language are
dos,
you speaking now?
Dos fuego ants.
Dos fuego and dos. Fuego Antilles.
Hey, you guys are making fun now, but tomorrow when I wake up with and I'm in
you're gonna be okay.
Antioch arrest.
At what arrest?
Antioch. I think you just said
I think
Antioch
I think you
arrest.
Did.
Wow.
Because they're
like, how did we get this far off the rails? With the train.
You guys were getting too serious, so I had to jump in and.
What I was asking is, she had serious lyrics. Do you want some?
She had Cyrillic. I prefer that second song you sang, which I don't know if it's going to be second when we hear it. In the but
sure, Vain, yeah,
but yes, Vain was a. That's one of those songs. You know, it's one of those songs you might not think about it when you wrote it. You might not think how it's going to affect other people. But some weird line in the middle of the song struck me, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I can relate to exactly what the song is talking about. I'm going through this right now. Like this is a great fucking song. Like
so
it's
what's Vain about?
Well, I'd like to know what lyric you're talking about.
If I say it, it might give away if the person listens.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. Vain is definitely an
He's
anthem.
He's so full of shit. Don't listen.
Oh, no. No, I believe Tony's very nice. He's very sincere.
No, he's great and sincere, but he's still full of shit.
Oh, okay.
At times, he's...
Great and
Well, you know him better than I do.
Great and sincerely full of shit. But great. Still great.
Yeah. I think definitely Vain is an anthem to, you know, just not feeling great about being taken advantage of, especially in the category of feelings, you know? And I think every time you get invested in maybe a love interest, it's always exciting and you wonder where it's going to go and that kind of thing. And then when you realize that some of your efforts are kind of going in vain,
it's a little
frustrating.
Bit one-sided.
Yeah, one-sided.
Maybe the other person doesn't quite feel the way that you are not as excited as you are excited about it.
Yeah, and maybe sure. Most of all, maybe not as honest about it. Mm. And they kind of lead you down the rabbit hole. I think that's also kind of worse, you know, it's
sure.
Worse
when you
to lead somebody down the rabbit hole rather than to say, hey, you know what, I don't really know what I want.
The rabbit hole turns out to be a gopher hole.
Right, exactly.
Groundhog hole.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody when they get excited about somebody wants to portray a version of themselves. Yeah, a version of themselves that they would like to date. You know, like when I get involved with somebody, I always go, okay, how can I show that I'm worthy of somebody's, you know, time and their efforts and everything, you know, like, so how can I, you know, be a good enough person to deserve?
It's too bad everyone doesn't have the mentality.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, but when you do that, right. And then somebody says, oh, you know what? Like, I'm not really serious, or like this was cool for a bit and awesome, like whatever, then it can really stir up a little bit of anger, And I'm a very sweet person, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm super nice. I really promise that. But when I feel like I've been taken advantage of, it hurts. And that hurt kind of sometimes turns into a little bit of anger.
But it makes for good storytelling.
Right.
And good song lyrics.
Right.
Hell yeah.
Just so you guys know, there's another ant on me right here. So she
what?
Look, another.
It's the couch.
I don't see
it's
it.
It's the couch, man. Get off the couch. We're not anting over here.
It's not anecdotal. It's, I actually have ants on me.
Oh, I just saw one yes. go across there.
Anyway, so and I didn't mean to.
It's that
I'm
beer.
Seriously.
I think it's that beer.
I think
spilled
maybe
earlier.
Somebody spilled some beer on this couch, and it's been food for the ants.
I've definitely spilled some on the floor.
Food Wait. For the ants.
Do you want a stool?
No, I don't want a stool.
This thing has a bed in it. This is serious.
Wow.
Oh, you know what, guys? You know what? I'm sorry. It's my bed. I didn't realize I was actually sitting on an anthill. Sorry. Sorry for the listeners.
You know what? Whoops. I missed it myself.
I
happened to miss the anthill when I walked in.
You know, I thought this
was.
I thought this was
like an anthill.
I thought this was
like
a stool.
We paid
couch.
Extra for it, actually.
I thought it was a stool,
Diamond
actually.
Studios.
I thought
oh.
It was a, look, there he is.
Oh
look,
God.
He's chill.
Wait.
Look, I'm not lying. There's an ant.
I mean, it doesn't look like a fire ant, though.
No,
so I think
he's not.
Right.
But he's
put him
like
in your whiskey
totally
and drink it.
He's like,
what?
Yeah, it's protein.
I'll drink that fucking ant.
Is this like the
oh,
worm
I'll drink
and
that,
tequila?
I'll drink that fuck out of that ant.
Is this the same? I don't know.
Good protein.
There's an ant in my whiskey, and I'm going to drink the fuck out of it. Maybe it'll leave me alone. If I have the ant blood in me, it'll leave me
there's
alone.
There's an ant in my beer.
There's an ant in my whiskey. That's our new country
protein
song.
Protein whiskey.
It's getting really kind of it's getting kind of risky. Feeling frisky.
I was so gonna start with the frisky. Seriously, that's the best rhyme to go right after that. Perfect.
Yep. Whiskey and frisky.
That's the only thing you go to, right? Whiskey frisky.
Like my brain just goes automatically there. Yeah, it's the
I mean,
first.
You're
rhyme.
After those two words. I mean, what else to be?
Yeah, that's it. You pretty much run out. You're like whiskey, frisky, risky.
Trisky.
I feel like biscuits, eating a Triscuit.
That reminds me of Triscuits, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Then you're
off
on
the rails.
Biscuit.
Ew.
Could we all agree we're eating biscuits after this podcast is sober?
Maybe like
it's
breakfast at 6 a.m.
There's a bag
you know.
Of pretzels over there.
Except it's only 9:30.
What?
She's like, what? Huh? Huh?
I can't believe that. So early.
We have officially gone 1 hour, my friends.
But Faith, what are you working on right now? Are you recording? Are you getting ready to do some live gigs? What do you got?
Okay. That's a very good question. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm working on a Midwest tour.
Cool.
A lot of people have been asking my mom, in fact, what exactly is her plan?
They want to come see you. Like.
Yes, absolutely. And so on my Facebook, social media, website, all of the above. I've been posting things like, hey, if you share this post, you could see us in your town next.
Yeah.
When you see those types of invites, I really want to see what interest there is in Faith Kelly music in your town. So sure. I'd really like to find out what towns I need to be hitting in my tour. And when I do that, I'm going to bring some people to do some video, and I'd like to bring some video back to Nashville from those locations.
Yeah.
And eventually I'd like it to lead to an EP recording early next year. And that is going to be my claim to fame because it's going to be my favorite songs and I'll be able to record them the way I want to. And I'm going to be shopping out to see if anybody has interest in giving me a little bit more backing in order to do a full length.
Yeah.
So that is the plan, and I would love the support of any and everybody who enjoys this music. And you can find regular updates at faithkelly.com with an EY, and I'm very excited.
We'll have all the links to all of her stuff on our page, landing episode for this.
Yeah.
So if you only listen to iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play, I urge you to please go to shareyourbuzz.com and check our actual blog posts for the episodes. Because if you look at the blog posts, we do an extended description of the show, and we also plug the artists. We have pictures, and we plug the artists' websites. So, again, if you only listen to on iTunes, I know a lot of you guys only listen to iTunes, and that's fine. That's great. Please rate us 5 stars. Leave us comments. However you listen is fine with us. But if you want a little bit more from our show, I urge you to go to shareyourbuzz.com because there's a lot more stuff there that you can get like a little more insight on the show. And you get links to all of our guests, all their pages. You get pictures. So please go do that.
I've had some questions recently from my hometown. What exactly is an EP? And so I feel the need to explain that if that's okay with y'all.
Sure.
Please do.
Sure.
Okay, so an EP, I looked it up recently because I had to realize
I know what it is, but I want to hear you say it.
I need to explain it to my own mother.
Sure.
Mom.
And she says, my mom says, people are asking me in town, what's an EPA? You know, and I said, okay.
EPA?
Yeah, I know. That's what we do. Anyway, it's great. And an EP is an extended play. So it's something that's more than a single, but less than a full-length album. And so an extended play allows a record company or anybody who's interested in you, for instance, investors and such, it allows them
to... I like that song. Let's hear another one. Sort of a thing,
exactly,
right?
100%, exactly. So they want to hear that you have more than a single in the bag. And so that's why I really want to do a 6-song EP. I have 6 that I feel are really amazing and that can be shared with the world in a way that other people can relate to it. And
as opposed to an LP,
which is long play.
Right, exactly. So I'd like to do a long play, but I'm going to do the EP first to see if there's some interest in some investors.
Well, I mean, you got to think with an EP, you're talking like a 6-song EP. That's a powerhouse EP.
Yeah.
Because they could be as short as 3. You know what I'm saying? So you got a good 6-song EP. That's powerful.
Yeah, I think a normal is like 5.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I can't tell me any 3-song EPs I've cut. You know what I mean? For people. So it's like 6 songs is good.
That's enough to like in the bag,
like,
y'all.
I'm like, oh, give me those B-sides, though. I want those B-sides.
Yeah,
you
I
know?
Got
like,
a lot of B-sides.
I love my B-sides, man. B-sides.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm a sucker for a good B-side. That's why I'm an album guy.
You know, but
no,
that's what I love about Nashville, because there is a lot of respect for a B-side. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of respect.
Everybody wants the underground stuff. They want
they do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about Nashville is that, okay, cool, you can be a platinum-selling artist, and that's cool and everything, but we want to hear what nobody else hears.
Yeah.
And I love that.
And we want to hear, because the thing I love about B-sides is, or just, you know, or when you hear an artist play just live in general, though, it's all about the musicianship, because you have a lot of musicians here, obviously. We're talking to one right now.
Yeah.
A lot of singers, but, like, as a musician, because there's so many musicians and artists in the crowd, they want to hear that stuff. They want to pick out, okay, that solo is different. He played that one different than he did on, say, the album or something.
Yeah.
But someone, you know, a musician's going to pick up on
that.
It was
just like
we
heard
other
earlier
people might not, you know what I'm
saying?
When
she was playing with her wonderful musicians that were here playing with her, and there was a comment made, I don't think it was on mic, but that you were saying how you liked one of those licks that he played.
Yeah.
And he was like, and he was playing on the fly. He was like, I might not remember that tomorrow. Like, we play with such great musicians that they have bomb-ass licks all the time that they just come up with on the fly.
Yeah.
They might not even know what they're doing.
Yeah. His solo was off the cuff, yet it flowed flawlessly. Because he's, you know, his name is, give me a second. Andy.
Yeah.
Andy.
I played tonight with Andy Gibson and
good.
Ben Sally and solid, cool players.
Yeah.
And Andy was the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Andy played this lick in The Real Monkey that
Not
I have
monkey.
Heard him kind of do a similar lick before, but because I was listening back to it in the headphones, I was able to like not pay attention to my part and really be able to hear him.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, dude, that's sick. Yeah. I mean, in a good way, sick.
I mean,
you know?
Both of those guys were sick players, but Andy was extra cool because he helped me find my way back to the room when I was lost because there's a.
It's important.
Because he was walking out as I was walking in. I was like, dude, where are we? Because every. Cause when you're not in the room here, everything looks the same.
Tony, you ever been to Vegas?
Oh, like 3 times, yeah.
You know those casinos are massive.
Yeah,
dude.
But they're
all the same.
Yeah, but you have points. Like
sure.
Everything here looks exactly the same.
That's
everything
true.
Here
it's
looks.
Very
I don't know.
It's very
I'll
low.
Find myself in one casino and then another, and I'm like, whoa, okay, I don't even know how I got here, because
that's
they're
different.
All connected. Yep. You know what I'm talking about? They all have like these skyways or walkways or breezeways or whatever it is that connects them to each
other.
Oh,
you're on like
you're
the,
in the Cosmopolitan.
Like,
you didn't even know.
Yeah, if you're on
you
like
thought you were at Caesar Palace.
Right.
You have no idea.
If like like Caesars, Bellagio, like all the on that side of the world are connected, and then Harrah's on the other side of the world, they're all connected. So you don't like Paris and all that.
Yeah,
dude, Paris is one of my favorites too.
I like Paris.
Yeah, I like that ceiling though.
Yeah.
Oh
yes.
It's like it's that painted. You feel like you're outside,
and
you're not.
The day you're like, I love that. Actually, Paris. I was going to mention. I thought you were going to say Paris. I love the ceiling in Paris. I love the ceiling in Paris too. It's like, and what's crazy is like as the daytime changes, they change this. The lighting
in there,
and they make it look like you're at a roadside
you're
cafe.
You're literally
when
walking,
you're
yeah. You can
and
see
all like
exactly
all the waitresses dressed in like the Parisian outfits and everything. And
wherever that
you
is, I don't know. It's
I don't know
what the Parisian outfit look like.
And like even like when you go out through Little Caesars,
do
like
they
it's
look
so
like little mimes
it's so big.
Little Caesars.
Little Caesars. Yeah.
The $5.
Pita.
Oh, nice, man. I like it.
Remember those
it's
commercials
like
the they used to be like
on the spear was
yes,
what
like
killed
yeah.
me.
And it would pop and it would flip and it would land back on the spear.
I always wanted.
It's like, whoa, man, that's a magic
I wanted
trick.
The Little Caesars guy.
There, buddy.
I always wanted the Little Caesars.
Oh, yeah, I want one, no.
Oh, extra pepperonis.
I've always wanted the Little Caesars
that was pretty good, man.
Guy to fight the Noid.
My northern heart was proud.
The Noid, was it?
It was proud,
nice.
Yeah.
I want Little Caesar to fight the Noid. From Domino's. The Domino's Noid.
Yes.
Remember the Noid?
Yeah.
The Noid fighting Little Caesar? Oh,
yeah.
Man. I got that.
And
it was way back.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. They can both whip Papa John's ass. Papa John's a bitch.
Well, damn. That's what he gets for having that sweet sauce.
That's what he gets for teaming up with fucking Peyton Manning.
Hey.
Say what you want, y'all, that garlic sauce is like
from Papa John's?
Addicting.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Nice. You want like dip, like anything
I
in
literally,
that? Crazy.
Yes, I would put that shit on the steak.
If you're Nashville, if you're a Nashville local,
mashed potatoes.
God, shut up! Drunk people talking about food.
Don't save it.
Okay, we should probably stop now.
Okay, Faith. Before we get out of here.
All right.
What's the 5-year plan? I'm just kidding. Are you playing any?
What are the five ingredients to your best pizza?
Right. So what's over for Faith Kelly? We're gonna record an EP.
Yeah.
We're gonna start. When are you trying to do the Midwest tour?
I'm trying to do March. I'm working with a really great booking agent right now that I've worked through before in Minneapolis. He's from Minneapolis, and he does a great job. I'm hoping to travel all the way up through the Midwest, so through Chicago, through Des Moines, through Minneapolis, up through Duluth, possibly hit my hometown, which I feel kind of scared even saying because I want to make sure that
you gotta do
I
it. You
can
gotta
do it and make sure.
Is there a venue?
It's all set and done before I release that. But I'm very excited, and I think that
you gotta do it.
There is a market for this music in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Since it was born in the Midwest.
A lot. I wouldn't say.
Bring it back to the people.
Was it born? Was blues born in the Midwest?
Well, I wouldn't say blues, but I certainly
certain
was.
Type of,
Faith
sure.
was.
I certainly wasn't.
Blues
so I'm bringing
all over the place,
Faith
so.
Kelly back to the Midwest.
Faith
That's
blues.
Right.
The Faith blues.
Yeah. And I'd like to see them have a good time with it and see them have some ownership in it, because every place that I was in the Midwest and East Coast and West Coast, like, you know, helped shape and mold what kind of sound I have.
Yeah.
And if I can bring the music to the people, then it raises awareness. And that means that when I shop out my EP, there's going to be more interest in that on a bigger and wider platform. And I think this music means something to people. Like I said before, I feel I want to be the kind of artist that touches somebody, and it's important to see that there's beauty in the struggle, you know?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's...
You can touch me if you want.
I'll touch you.
Can we do a little hands in the middle?
Oh, hell
hands
yeah.
Hands in the middle.
Oh, that
one.
We're doing
two,
a
right?
Whoa,
two.
Faith Kelly.
Yeah,
Faith Kelly.
I like it. Anyhow, so that's the plan, guys. Just bring my music to a wider audience and be able to keep writing. I'm always writing. Right now, I feel like I can't stop writing, which is amazing.
So that's good, because I know oftentimes that there's a drought, you know, and it's...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so
I've had that before.
It's good,
yeah.
Right? Maybe all these hurricanes right now, or they've fueled you, so you're...
Disaster
just,
fuels.
Yeah, you're just...
Right now, I feel like I'm just at it, like an impasse in my life where I'm just brave. You know, I'm
brave?
Just a little bit more brave
like
to let my thoughts out there.
Sure.
And I think that's cool. And I think other people that grew up in my era and that are my age are finding that too in their own lives in their way.
Well, 22 is a good age, so.
Yeah.
It's a good age.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. On that note.
Faith, one more time, where can I find you?
FaithKelly.com with an EY. Check me out on my website. All my social media is right up there at the top of my website, FaithKelly.com, again with an EY. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, also SoundCloud. And I'll be so happy to be able to see what you guys think about my music. Thanks a lot.
It's a pleasure having you on.
Give some feedback on the show, too.
Yeah,
we love all of your... not for us. Give feedback from the guests. Let them know that you heard them from us. That makes us look good. And also, we like to spread our community. We love to share your buzz, being a big community. Like, a lot of our guests know each other. A lot of our guests are all... We all play the same circuit. We all play the same venues. We love to have you guys comment on all of our stuff and support all of our guests. And you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, Google Play. But again, the best place to find us is shareyourbuzz.com. Faith, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank y'all. Y'all better check out Share Your Buzz. It's a fantastic way to meet new underground artists here in Nashville.
We're so glad to have you as a part of our Share Your Buzz family.
Thanks, y'all. Appreciate
Cheers.
It.
So on behalf Cheers. Of myself and Faith and the crew tonight and Chris... You got anything else?
Diego.
Diego.
Chris and Tony, y'all.
We're in Diego.
Thank you, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and love.
All right. Enjoy your
reason. Peace and love.